The title of your album, My Future Just Passed. In the liner notes, you talk about the song coming from the 1930s, the film Safety in Numbers, and you say how it tells a timeless story of love at first sight when the woman you dream about walks by you on the street. Did that happen to you when you met your wife?
Well, we're not technically married, but we've been together for about 10 years, so.
Did it happen?
Yeah, man. I mean, I was, we were both at SUNY Purchase College. She's worked in the arts, and she's like one of these just, you know, multi-talented people. It's got a lot of interests, and music happened to be one of them. And yeah, we just kind of hit it off, and she's put up with me for this long, so.
Well, I mean, you didn't intend to make a personal conversation about this, but what was it about her that was almost love at first sight?
Man, I mean, how do you even put that into words, right? I mean, wow. you could just tell how compassionate and bright and joyful of a person she is. And it was just kind of infectious, and I wanted to be around it. And, you know, I was young, and she's a few years older than me, and I was, you know, kind of trying to figure things out and find my way and try and work through becoming an artist and you know, move to the city. And, you know, she's been nothing but supportive and, you know, always giving me a push and giving me a push in the right direction. And, you know, the record and pretty much anything good that I've done would not have happened without her.
We're talking with tenor saxophonist Sam Taylor. Did you have a similar aha moment with music or jazz music?
That's hard to say. I mean, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia and, you know, single mom, and she was kind of throwing the kitchen sink at me to see what would kind of stick, you know, with sports and certain kind of classes and art classes and music. And I was fortunate that I had kind of a small class to begin with and some really good teachers. This guy, Len Murphy, who's since retired, but he's a great saxophonist and arranger. He's the one who really sparked my interest. And then, you know, mom went out and bought me Saxophone Colossus by Sonny Rollins.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, so that was kind of, it's funny. I mean, that was really the start. And she took me to see Sonny, actually, the Keswick Theater, which is outside of Philly in like the late 90s. You know, and it's just those kind of moments where you see somebody doing something and you're a kid and that was like the greatest thing in the world to me.
Well, let's talk about Sonny. You recorded his song, Why Don't I, on this album. Did you get a chance to meet Sonny, play with Sonny, get to know Sonny at all?
You know, not at all. I mean, I met him that first time. So at that concert that I mentioned, I hung around out back and I got to meet him. And I have the ticket stub still that he signed for me.
You got in the frame?
Yeah, okay. I sure do, man. I sure do. So, you know, I was like, hey, Mr. Rollins, you know, I play saxophone too, you know, and he's like, well, you better be good. That was what he said to me, which was, you know, it's just great. I mean, it was just great. And he's really my main man.
Sonny Rollins is one of the names you have mentioned as a hero of yours, as well as Coleman Hawkins, Charlie Parker, Frank Sinatra, Abbey Lincoln, even Paul Motion. What is the connection? What's the thread that connects all those players, and I suppose a few others as well?
That kind of came out of this Mulgrew Miller quote from, I forget which magazine, but he was kind of talking about this idea of a folk element, as like jazz being kind of a progressive art and a part folk art. And that kind of resonated with me. And he kind of alluded to the same kind of like core connecting, you know, Lester Young to the blues shouters before him, to Ornette Coleman, to John Coltrane. To me, I couldn't say exactly what he's speaking to, but I think it has to do with the rhythm, which is, to me, is swing. You know, I think that's when people start talking about trying to, you know, label jazz or what it is. I think most of the arguments kind of, to me, seems to come down to rhythm.
Well, you mentioned you're a Philly guy.
Right.
Philadelphia known for many things. Rocky.
Right.
Brutally
right.
Tough sports fans.
Mm.
And a Hammond B3, you know, on every street corner club. You're not a 76ers fan right now, are you?
Truthful answer?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to be a Sixer fan right now.
Man, it's tough being a Phillies fan, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's rough. I know.
Well, are Philly jazz fans as tough as the sports fans are? I mean, is it tough in the clubs? Are they tough on you?
You know, it was a great place to grow up. It was a emphasis on the history, you know, and on the rhythm and on swing. And I had a lot of great teachers directly and a lot of great teachers. There was this now sort of defunct place called Ortlieb's, which was a dive. But, you know, I got to hear Mickey Roker, you know, as a, you know, 13, 14-year-old. Byron Landham, the drummer, late Sid Simmons, Mike Boone, John Swanna. You know, Larry McKenna, who's, I don't know if you're familiar with Larry, but great tenor player, really a master and one of my heroes. So, yeah, they were tough, but there was a lot of love, too. So,
it's my stereotype, but Philadelphia's got this soulful sound, and you know, the B3 is the backbone of that, I suppose. But is that something when you're growing up in Philadelphia as well? And in addition to the rhythm, you just kind of absorb that soulful sound of the city as a musician?
I guess so, right? I mean, I think you're
that's
you're
my stereotype. So I'm
yeah, no, you know. No. I mean, you're a product of your surroundings. You know, I mean, there was definitely a lot of that going around, and you know, kids I went to. Just school with were into that kind of music. I went to high school at the Performing Arts High School down there, and that's where the like Boyz II Men went there, and the Roots, like Amir Thompson and those guys.
Mm.
So that element, yeah, is definitely there. And there were some regular like organ gigs, like Organ Trio with tenor, drums, and organ that happened that, you know, I definitely got to see and enjoy. So yeah, I think that's definitely part of it for sure.
Sam Taylor, nice to talk to you. Congratulations on the new album. It's nice to get to know you.
John, thanks very much for your time. Appreciate it.